Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to worship and thank everybody who makes this service possible, live streaming and our special music today. We appreciate it. On All Saints Day, because we're limited to capacity, we still want to celebrate the people we love and miss. And we're asking if you, we're going to do a video montage, and if you want to send in a 20-second video of you holding a picture of your loved one and saying what you missed most, or just send a photo in. The directions or instructions are in your announcements, but we'd love to have many people participate in that. Next Sunday, our third graders get their Bible at 11 o'clock in the gym. If you have a third grader and you do not know about this, contact Nicole Olds. Also on the 17th, trunk or treat, obviously for our children, that runs from 4:30 to 6:30. If you'd like to volunteer and help, there are two shifts, and we would really appreciate that. Youth group tonight, game night. October 24th, Camp Restore. We'll be working there 9 to 4 o'clock. Also, Women's Bible Study. They're starting a new study October 20th on Elijah. And on October 25th, starting around 9 o'clock, since we didn't have a church picnic this year, but 9 o'clock through the late service, we're going to have fellowship time outside, weather permitting, and we're going to have hot dogs, chips, and desserts, and even to the live stream people, you don't feel comfortable coming into the sanctuary for worship. You know, usually if you skip church and then I see you that day, it makes me, you know, bothers me, but we understand. But if you just want to come to the fellowship event, more than welcome. We'd love to see you. We rise for opening hymn.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, Lord.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Glory be to the Father, and to
Psalm chapter 51. Have mercy on me, O God,
According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Here ends the Old Testament reading. Our epistle reading is from Romans chapter 4. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Here ends the epistle reading. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. At dawn, Jesus appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Here ends the Holy Gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Please be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Monday was my birthday, and I want to thank so many of you who gave me a card. It was really neat, and one of the best cards I got to show you. Oh, I know it's a bottle of vodka, but it's also a card, too. Look, it says, "Happy Birthday, Randy." That's from Jim Greenwald. Thank you, Jim. And you can program it. There's an app for it. It's amazing. And then some of the other cards I got, this is from the Ely's, and you can't say anything bad about them, but the card really insinuated I was getting old. This one, Bill and Carol Leahy, and I'm assuming Carol did it, but she drew a picture of them, and even in this picture, Bill looks a lot older than Carol. And then the Beekners. Ma Beek sent me a card, and then Toby and Julie, yeah, wrote really nice things. And I thought, that's so sweet. But then I'm thinking, wait, this represents two households. Shouldn't I get two cards? Then the last one. Once upon a time, a very special person was born who was destined to change the world. Oh, that made me feel so good. I'm somebody. I make a difference. I was destined to change the world. But then you open it up and it says, "Calm down, it's not you, it's Jesus." You ever look in the mirror and don't like what you see? You live with regret? Are you haunted by the past? Is there a sin that you're not forgiving yourself for? You know, regrets. Look, this is humorous. W.C. Fields, he was in divorce court with his wife, his soon-to-be ex-wife, and his wife said, "You're useless, a lazy bum, and most of all, a no-good drunk." He looked at her and replied, "My only regret, my dear, is I never thanked you for leading me to drink." There was a study done on regret, and they found that people under 50 regretted things they did. People over 50 regretted things they didn't do. It's interesting, as life moves on and you realize opportunity passes by. You live with regret. Are you haunted? Is there a sin that you just can't forgive yourself for? You know, harboring those thoughts, keeping it inside, is not good for you emotionally, mentally, even physically. It can affect your physical well-being. Remember King David, he had an affair with Bathsheba, and as a result of that affair, he's trying to cover it up because she's pregnant. He has Uriah, her husband, struck down on the battlefield. Nathan confronts him with his adultery and murder. Before this, David is trying to cover it up, trying to keep it from everybody. But he's carrying it around. He's haunted by it. Psalm 32 would be written as inspiration of what went through his mind, his heart, his emotions. He said, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent," referring to his sin, "when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Imagine his sin, adultery and murder. When he opened up, when he confessed it, he found peace. He found forgiveness. Can you imagine how Peter must have felt? Jesus is about to be betrayed. Peter's saying, "I'll die with you." Jesus said, "No, you won't. The rooster's going to crow, and you're going to deny knowing me three times." Can you imagine how he felt? Especially after Jesus was dead. So much of our regret is surrounded by the death of a loved one. You know that? We think to ourselves, we should have done this or did that. I should have been there. And we carry that around. Imagine how Peter must have felt. And Jesus, after the resurrection, would confront him. And it was a difficult process as you read through it. Jesus would ask, "Peter, do you love me?" Imagine Paul. Remember, he was Saul. And he was out persecuting the church, the early Christians. He was even there when Stephen was martyred, the first martyr of the church, when he was stoned to death. Saul is there giving his thumbs up. Now Jesus breaks into his life and calls him to be an apostle. Can you imagine how he felt or what he did to the church, what he did to his Savior? Listen to what he writes in 1 Corinthians 15. "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." You know what Paul's doing? He's being honest with himself. He's putting it in writing. You know, some would say, and it does help some people, to take your regret or your guilt and write it on a sheet of paper. Be very detailed. Go through the whole situation. Go through your feelings and your emotions. Go through the pain. And then some people will even burn that piece of paper to find some freedom, some relief. It was in 1764, this man was ordained into the Anglican Church. And he would go on to write 280 hymns. Before he came to Christ, before he became a believer, he was a captain on a ship. As a captain, he was involved in slave trade. So he would fill the ship up with slaves and take them to be sold. Once there was a storm, and he was on the ship. And that was the day God broke into his life. He became a believer. Imagine the regret as he came to terms, as he came to see these people that they called slaves as human beings, and that he was involved in that. He would even help change the law later in his life. That was John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. He applied that to himself. And so often we don't apply God's amazing grace to ourselves. Psalm 51, which we heard read. Again, David is probably referring to what he had with Bathsheba and the murder. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God doesn't want you to carry around guilt. He doesn't want you to carry around regret. He wants his children to be free. Yeah, free of the past. God's grace doesn't change your past. It redeems your past. And God even works through your past, even in the bad things. Hebrews 9:14, if your conscience bothers you, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death? To be clean, to be free. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 103:10, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. When you hold on to regret and a troubled conscience, the past, I know you're not intending to say this, but this is what you're saying. There is a higher word above God's word, and that's you. You're putting yourself in the place of God. You're holding yourself accountable for a sin that Jesus paid for. And what you're telling Jesus is, your sacrifice wasn't enough. It can't cover my guilt. It can't take away my sin. Martin Luther would write, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is with the Word of God. No one else is worth believing. Even when your feelings tell you something different, you have to hold on to the gospel of Christ. 1 John 3:19. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. You have to hold on to his word. Satan is called the accuser. He loves to bring up your past. He loves to tell you that God couldn't pay for that sin, that your sins aren't forgiven. Why do we have an easier time forgiving others than forgiving ourselves? Listen to what Paul says. Again, remember his past. He says in Philippians 3, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Paul says the past is the past. Can't change it. And I can't let it bring me down. I have a new day in Christ. I have a future. I have a life to live to his glory. And he wants me to live free. He wants me to live without guilt. He wants me to live without regret. C.S. Lewis said, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. How true. Give some thought this week. And if you're really troubled, maybe try writing it down. Try burning that piece of paper. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with your feelings. Let that turmoil come out. And then burn it and be free. Christ has paid such a great price, and he wants us to be free and to celebrate that freedom in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise for prayer. Sorry, I even read that in the bulletin. We have a little offertory. Please sit down.
Please rise. Eternal Almighty God, Heavenly Father, how good it is to sing your praises. How delightful it is to assemble in your house with our fellow redeemed. You revive our hopes in a world filled with the broken promises of man. Your word is truth, and your promises are sure fulfillment. You alone have the might and power to accomplish those things which we are unable to do. Accept our praise and thanksgiving for graciously using your power among us. Reassure us of your forgiveness and help us to put aside our self-accusation. Open our eyes to your goodness and to the needs of others. Unstop our ears that we may hear your voice above the noise and confusion of our times. Unloose our tongues that we may speak of the wonders of your mighty acts. Give us vision to see the world ripe for the harvest. May all ears be attentive to the message of your heavenly gospel. May all voices be tuned to sing your praises. Give insight, understanding, and vision to our nation's citizens and leaders. Grant the inspiration of your Holy Spirit to all church members and religious leaders. In our families, help us to listen to one another with patience. Dear Lord, we bring before you those who suffer from experience of death, which has entered our world through sin. We ask that you would give them the confidence of your Son, Jesus Christ, who destroyed death and who now gives us the hope of the resurrection. For the family and friends of Nancy Ritzman, the family and friends of Karen Todd, and the family and friends of Robert Waldron, we ask for your blessing and your comfort. For all who face health concerns, dear Lord, you bless those who touched you, even the hem of your garment while you walked on earth. We ask that you would give us this same hope, that you will bless us both in body and soul, and will constantly care for our needs. We bring before you Jess Soltis, Diane Lipola, Karen and Russ, Nikki, William Cowger, Diane Orovec, Suzanne and Shelley Stock, Cheryl Olds, Rudy Becker, Alberta Schmidt, Herb and Charlene, Betty Owens, Penny Covio, Jan Hogan, Sharon Frey, Chris Decker, Kurt Young, Bruce Landino, Margot Gray, Vi Streck, and Margaret Luce, and for President Trump, that he would quickly recover. Dear Lord, we bring all these before you in the confidence that you hear us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Nothing less than Jesus' blood and Lord.